WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. Yes, the final day in the month, and we plan on sending January out with a bang as we have a fun-filled hour of sports talk here on AM 870. On today's Current Sports, we will talk a bit about Super Bowl Media Day, which is always fun because it's not just your normal X's and O's talk. A lot of media outlets have fun at this event. We'll bring to you some of our favorite takeaways from Super Bowl Media Day. Also, the Detroit Pistons fought hard, I must say, on the road last night, going against one of the hottest teams in the NBA, the Boston Celtics, but then came the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, where a certain man by the name of Isaiah Thomas, no, we're not talking about the Detroit Pistons fame guard from back in the day, but one who now dons the green and white jersey. Yeah. Little Isaiah Thomas went off on the Detroit Pistons last night, and we'll chat about a certain man who I believe needs to be traded ASAP. Also, LeBron James and Charles Barkley, that beef has been turned up a notch. LeBron James firing back at Charles Barkley, and you do not want to miss what LeBron has to say about Sir Charles. You don't want to miss this, folks. And also, later on this hour, we will get you ready for signing day, which is tomorrow, as we will invite to the show for the first time ever Jeremy Warnamunde, who is an MSU basketball and football reporter for 247sports.com. Jeremy does one outstanding job, and he knows his recruiting, folks. He'll get you prepped for that big day tomorrow. And later on this hour, we will talk about a famed Michigan State men's basketball player who grew up right in this area, who has been sent to the NBA's D League. Got drafted by a pretty sexy NBA team, but he has been shipped to the D League, and we'll have an interesting convo centered on how tough it is to try and make it in the association. All of that and more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR _sports. Before we get to all of that and so much more, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons falling to the Boston Celtics last night on the road. 113-109, the final of that one. Isaiah Thomas had a big night for Boston, posting 41 points and 8 assists. Thomas was also perfect from the free throw line, making all 15 of his attempts from the charity stripe. He had 24 of his 41 in the final stanza.
It was hit by Drummond. To fall and a foul. Here comes Isaiah Thomas. He's got 32. And resembling the Pistons, Isaiah Thomas. This is a three. Got it! Isaiah Thomas is a flamethrower. Thomas. The screen, the drive, and a 13-footer is pure.
He is playing with the utmost supreme confidence.
How can you not love Kevin Harlan, right? Isaiah Thomas is a flamethrower. I love Kevin Harlan. And you know what's so funny about that, Isaac, is that he did the Michigan State-Michigan game this past weekend, and now he has done the Pistons game last night. I love his voice.
Never underestimate the life of an NBA play-by-play guy.
I'm telling you, Kevin Harlan, he is fantastic. For the Pistons, Andre Drummond had a huge night on the glass, snagging 22 boards, also scoring 28 points. Reggie Jackson's play was subpar, finishing just 4 of 12 from the field, missing some key shots down the stretch. Detroit will be back in action tomorrow when they take on the New Orleans Pelicans. Isaac at the Palace. Tip time is set for 7:30 p.m. We'll have more on the Pistons in just a moment. LeBron James made headlines once again with comments yesterday in regards to former NBA player and current TNT studio analyst Charles Barkley. LeBron fired back at Barkley for constant criticism, but more specifically when Barkley called James inappropriate and whiny after James complained about the lack of playmaking for the Cavs. Following the loss to the Mavs, LeBron had this to say about Sir Charles. Quote, he's a hater. What makes what he says credible? Because he's on TV? I'm not going to let him disrespect my legacy like that. I'm not the one who threw somebody through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debt in Las Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up to All-Star Weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying, end quote. That's what King James had to say concerning Charles Barkley. Yeah, the beef is real. All right, we'll dive into those comments later on. Tonight at the Joe, the New Jersey Devils will come to town to take on the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit currently sits at 49 points, which is good for a tie for last in the Eastern Conference's Atlantic Division. This is the Wings' first game back from the All-Star break. Dylan Larkin, the young forward for the Wings, is expected to return after missing the last two games before the break with an upper body injury. Hopefully, he can spark an offense that was shut out in its last game against Toronto. The Wings will be looking to snap a four-game losing streak against a Devils team that also comes into the game at 49 points and tied for last in the Metropolitan Division. Puck drop scheduled for 7:30 p.m. tonight. According to reports, former Detroit Lions running back Mel Farr had stage 3 CTE, better known as, of course, it's better known as CTE, but it's known as chronic traumatic encephalopathy, when he passed away in August of 2015. Following his death, Farr's family donated his brain to Boston University, where researchers could study the effects of brain disease. The researchers determined that Farr's brain showed signs of the disease. Farr was drafted by the Detroit Lions in 1967. That year, he won Rookie of the Year. He was a two-time Pro Bowler and spent 7 years with the team. Stage 3 CTE is said to be the third most progressive stage of the disease, one stage below full brain dementia. Shocking stuff there. All right. The city of Detroit is reportedly making a deadline bid for an expansion team in the MLS today, Major League Soccer. Detroit is one of a dozen cities vying for a team as the MLS looks to add two more teams in 2020 and then another pair of teams in 2022. The MLS currently has 24 franchises, and Sacramento, California is said to be a front runner to land an expansion bid from the league. Other notable cities placing bids are St. Louis, San Diego, Cincinnati, and Nashville. The number one high school football player in the state of Iowa, wide receiver Oliver Martin, has committed to Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan won the race for the four-star wideout, beating out Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Iowa for his services. Now, Martin announced his commitment via a video on Twitter, which featured he and Michigan's Jim Harbaugh and Pep Hamilton jumping into a pool in celebration. How cool is that, right? Martin joins an impressive class of wide receivers at Michigan for 2017 with five-star Cash Tech product Donovan Peoples-Jones and four-star Tariq Black, already committed for the Wolverines. John Beilein, a day after his Michigan team lost to Michigan State in EL, he did not mince words when it comes to how his team played in that game. He let loose on his radio show saying, quote, the ball stuck all day on offense. It was just a bad game. It was sickening. It was sick to me watching parts of the film, end quote. Now, the loss came one game after Michigan gave it to Indiana, a 30-point win over Indy. The good news for Beilein is his team does get a crack at the Spartans in less than 10 days when they host Michigan State in Ann Arbor on February 7th. And last but certainly not least, speaking of Michigan State hoops, star freshman forward Miles Bridges has been named Big Ten Freshman Player of the Week for the fourth time this season. after he averaged 20 points, 10 boards in two games against Purdue and Michigan. Now, Bridges set the Michigan State freshman scoring record against the Boilermakers, posting 33 points. It is the seventh time a Michigan State Spartan has won the award this season, with Nick Ward receiving the award three times. That's a lot of Ward in that sentence. All right. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of the show, you know that number. Probably got it on speed dial. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports, or again, weigh in via Twitter at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Would you look at the time? So little time, so much to talk about. Let's stop wasting time. Let's start the show.
I've been fortunate over my career to play with some great, great, great receivers. Here's your ball. Good catch. You're not supposed to use your hands, though. You know, it's a great game to watch. And, I mean, imagine what it's like to play. And, you know, I have a chance to play. So I've loved it since I was a kid. There's the GOAT right there. What would I do with my fifth Super Bowl ring? Well, I would say I'd wear it, but I never wear these rings. Yeah, Julian Edelman loves burgers. Go give him the burger. It's the only thing going on in my life right now is getting ready for this game. Who's my hero? It's a great question. Well, I think my dad is my hero because he's someone that I look up to every day. And my dad.
A little bit of George Michael to start your Tuesday, right? Father figure, one of my favorite songs. I thought that was fitting to play that underneath, of course, Tom Brady's quotes during Super Bowl media day because of that last quote that you just heard. When a kid, probably the most touching part, probably my favorite part of media day yesterday was when they had a little kid ask Tom Brady the question, Tom, who is your hero? And Tom said, my dad. My dad's my hero. And he took a brief 2-second pause, and you could see Tom was about to cry. I haven't seen that side of Tom Brady. He got teary-eyed, and he had to stop. It looked like he was going to elaborate more, but he had to stop and just said, my dad. And you could just see him tear up a little bit. So probably my favorite part, because that was probably – and Isaac was chuckling behind the glass because, you know, you're looking at the bites that led up to that, I mean – just – and this is why I do love Super Bowl Media Day, because you break up the monotony of this usual – X's and O's, matchup, secondary, receiver, quarterback, running back talk that you usually get previewing that specific Super Bowl matchup. And you just get to fire any question that's on your noggin to these players. So you get a variety of questions. And Isaac, you mentioned how it just kind of sounded scripted from Tom there. But I tell you what, that last question was not scripted. I mean, he didn't see that one coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I was saying that Tom, and for multiple reasons, I think this analogy is pretty sound. It pretty much flows with the career of Tom Brady. But it's like that bad CW show in the early 2000s of Superman. It was like Smallville.
Yeah,
Smallville. That's what it reminds me of. Tom Brady's answers, his tones, the music in the background. I thought it was perfectly orchestrated by you. But at the same time, I like Super Bowl Media Day just because you get a few responses that are out of the blue you never expect.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, believe it or not, is good on a podium just because he's so oblivious to outside of a football field world. That's what he doesn't know anything about. He doesn't know anything about snap filter, Twitter book, or whatever.
Snap face.
Yeah, that's what he calls it. Face chat. Yeah. So I love Super Bowl media day, and my favorite moment ever, I think this was after the Super Bowl, it's still Marshawn Lynch's response to single reporter. I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah, I remember we had a whole debate about that during the show when, yeah, the Seahawks were in the Super Bowl that year and Marshawn Lynch just went mute on everybody.
I'm just
but
here,
yeah,
so I don't get fined.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So there were many moments just to talk about Media Day, again, very briefly before we dive into a bit of chatter on the NBA, specifically the Detroit Pistons, who were on national TV last night. A few more takeaways from Super Bowl Media Day, though. The Pats were booed, and they were booed pretty heavily. There was a moment when I was watching on, I believe it was on Fox, that broadcast Media Day yesterday. I don't think it was, and the NFL Network as well, but I was watching it on Fox. And the Atlanta Falcons, they were brought up, and they were talking about youth football. So it was some segment on youth football, and some members of the team came up on stage. And the Atlanta Falcons got, I mean, it just cheers everywhere. And then they bring up the New England Patriots and just boos everywhere. It was pretty bad. So I think we know where the majority of the rooting interest will be going toward this upcoming weekend. I think just a lot of the majority of NFL fans out there, if you are not a New England Patriots fan, you're just tired of seeing this team make it to Super Bowls time and time again. So they were booed. And again, a lot of controversy surrounded around this team. We can go back to the whole Tom Brady Deflategate situation. We can bring up the whole Spygate situation. I mean, there's just a lot of drama surrounded around the New England Patriots. Nonetheless, though, you have to respect them. They win, and they go to Super Bowls. That's what they do. Tom Brady doesn't drink Gatorade. That was also something that surprised me. You know, it's interesting because during Media Day, Gatorade sponsored a lot of things during that Media Day. And especially when it comes to the media sessions, you saw the Gatorade symbol there. And, of course, they were promoting their brand. And they provided everybody who was at the podium with Gatorade. And Tom, you know, he kind of looked at it and said, you know, hey, you guys got any water? And it just put in perspective that Tom Brady is treating this solely as a business trip. He's not on vacation here. Tom Brady does not put sugar in his body. All right. So he saw that Gatorade. No matter how minute the sugar is in Gatorade, I mean, Gatorade is supposed to be good for you, right? He said, you know what? Give me a bottle of water. And they actually tore the label off because, again, you can't cross promote like that, right? And he started drinking water up there while bottles of Gatorade just stood there, just collecting dust. So I thought that was kind of surprising, just something I noticed.
I've heard of different stories like that, too, of athletes who have Powerade sponsorships, but Gatorade sponsors the event or the game or whatever it may be, and they have to drink Powerade, but tear the label off of the Powerade. It's this whole convoluted process that these guys have to go through to remain loyal to their sponsorships.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe that was part of it, too, for Brady. My obscure takeaway was that the entire Falcons locker room is listening to Migos' new album. Matt Ryan is listening to Mumford and Sons.
Yeah, I love Matt Ryan. He's great, isn't he? That doesn't surprise me though. I don't expect Matt Ryan
to college, dude. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't expect anything else.
Yeah, I don't expect Matt Ryan to vibe out to some Migos. Heck, I don't even vibe out to Migos. I'm a hip hop head. I do not like Migos at all. Anyway, also it was an interesting exchange between Martellus Bennett and a reporter. Reporter, if you win the Super Bowl, will you go to the White House, given the political climate? Bennett, I don't know. I've got to win a Super Bowl. But most likely, no. Reporter, why would you not do that? Bennett, because I don't support the guy that's in the House. Yeah, shots fired there. Martellus not biting his tongue there. And also, I grew up in the 90s, and one of my favorite childhood movies was Good Burger. That Nickelodeon sponsored, and Kel Mitchell randomly was in the House representing Nickelodeon, and he was actually dressed up as his character Ed from the movie Good Burger. That was probably my second favorite moment from Media Day, but it's crazy how Kenan Thompson's career has just blossomed on SNL, and Kel Mitchell is really doing nothing. He's still, you know, going back to his glory days when he was Ed from Good Burger back on Nickelodeon. So that was very, very random. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's talk about the Detroit Pistons. Oh, boy. Oh, that was tough to watch last night. The Detroit Pistons fell to the Boston Celtics by a score of 113-109 last night on national TV. TNT Turner Sports broadcasted the game. You heard a snippet from Kevin Harlan, who was the play-by-play guy for last night's game. And Isaiah Thomas was fantastic. Had a huge game. But before I get to Isaiah Thomas, before I go on that rant, I want to talk about a certain player who I believe needs to be traded ASAP. Reggie Jackson. You know, Reggie, and you could tell, when Isaiah Thomas started to really get on a roll in that game, you could see it. And even, you know, even listening to Kevin, and I don't know who the respective sideline reporter was during that game last night, but even she brought it up, how she had talked with Reggie Jackson, and Reggie said, you know what, I got to score more. I have to be aggressive. And I look at a guy like Isaiah Thomas, and I want to go out there and be competitive against him, right? And that snippet just kept playing over and over and over in my mind as I watched the final 5 minutes of that game. Reggie Jackson treated this matchup in crunch time as a one-on-one backyard NBA Street Volume 2 battle between himself and Isaiah Thomas. And that was the wrong way to go about it. And this is the biggest criticism I've had on when it comes to Reggie Jackson time and time again. Reggie Jackson shoots entirely too much. Now, it's a catch-22. I get it, because those who are in support of Reggie Jackson will look at his stats from last year when there was less than 5 minutes left in the game last season and the Pistons and their opposition were separated by at least 5 points. Reggie Jackson was pretty good. Actually, when you even dwindle those stats to even more specific time frames, when Reggie Jackson had the ball in his hands with 3 minutes left in the game or less, there was no better efficient scoring in the league from a single individual. His field goal percentage was high, And his points average was the highest in the league when looking at the final 3 minutes of an NBA game. But expanding that to 5 minutes, he shot 42.4% from the field and 46.2% from three-point range in such situations last season. He was great. You could count on Reggie. You could say, go ahead, Reggie, do your thing. They would run that high pick and roll, and Reggie would play off it brilliantly. This year, his numbers are garbage. Only other word I can use to describe it. Garbage. Absolutely filthy. 32.3% from the field. And he is shooting a cold, an Antarctic cold, 14.3% from the three-point line. With under 5 minutes left in the game, and when that opposition and the Pistons are separated by at least 5 points. And the Pistons are below 500. They're 10-16. Since Jackson's return to the lineup. It's bad. It really is. And I watched that game and I saw Isaiah Thomas come down and, you know, he gets fouled and gets a layup. He goes and makes the free throw. Then I saw Reggie Jackson try to answer him. They gave him the high pick. He goes in the lane and forces a layup. Then I see Isaiah Thomas come down, get off a pick. Andre Drummond in his face. Not even like Andre Drummond is there. Just tickle the twine. Nothing but the bottom. And then I see Reggie Jackson come down. Take a high pick. Go in and get blocked by Grand Legend's own Al Horford. And then I see Isaiah Thomas go down the lane and just swoop in for a sexy layup. Then I see Reggie Jackson just lost. Throw up some mid-range jumper that found the back of the rim. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, can you pass the ball? Get some ball movement here. I just was so frustrated watching that. And Stan Van Gundy noted it. Stan Van Gundy, after yesterday's game, was asked about Reggie Jackson's shot selection in the waning minutes of the fourth quarter. Stan, were you okay with his shot selection? Oh, we have that bite, Isaac? Oh, I was going to read it. Let's just play that bite. How about we do that? Here's what Stan Van had to say when asked, hey, are you okay with Reggie's shot selection in the waning moments of that game?
That one's on me. Fourth quarter's on me.
Did you feel like you got the shot that you wanted down the stretch, Reggie to Boston?
No. No. I did not. I thought there were plays to be made to other people for better shots. So.
No. No. I did not. I thought there were plays to be made to other people for better shots. You think? And I counted. There was a moment where, you know, there were actually two moments. Reggie forced up a shot, and he got bailed out. There were two off-the-ball calls that were made that put the Pistons to the free throw line. So Reggie got bailed out twice in that fourth quarter in the waning moments. But when Reggie decided, because he was forced to give up the ball, when he decided to give up the ball, what do we see happen? Tobias Harris goes in and throws up a beautiful and tough, I must say, a beautiful, though, floater that finds the bottom of the net. And then Stan Van decides to take Reggie out too little too late and throw in Ish Smith, who had a brilliant game last night. And Ish gets the offense going and even drives in off a high pick and goes in for a layup. Ish Smith had his best game in weeks. 12 points, 2 assists, 6 of 7 shooting. The Pistons were absolutely on a roll when Reggie Jackson was on the bench warming it up. He fueled the Pistons' comeback. And, you know, he got tired. I get it. He got tired. And, you know, he asked to leave the game with 4 minutes and 28 seconds left to play. Then Reggie comes in 0 for 4. 0 for 4 down the stretch. And that block that I mentioned from Al Horford, the local kid here in Michigan, who's a man now, a grown man. Al Horford blocked his layup attempt with 22.5 left to play to preserve and to cement that Boston Celtics 2-point lead. We've seen it constant times when it comes to Reggie Jackson. I just don't get it. And, you know, in defense for Reggie, for 1 second here, there was a moment last year where I really thought Reggie Jackson was getting it. Because he started to find a balance between being aggressive, picking and choosing his spots, but also finding out a way to get his teammates involved first. And the Pistons started to have success, great success, especially when Reggie got more talent around him. When they made that trade for Tobias Harris, that's when the Pistons started to roll and they got into the playoffs. This year, I really think that, for lack of better terms, Reggie Jackson is just selfish right now. And I tweeted it out. I went on a huge Twitter rant last night. Grant Essenmacher, who's one of our PAs this semester, Grant saw my rant, and I think, Grant, you sent me a tweet last night, like, yeah, I think we'll be talking about this on Current Sports, right? And I'm like, yeah, of course. But I was just so frustrated watching that game last night. Props to Isaiah Thomas. I think he's the best little man in the league right now. Again, he scored 24 of his 41 in the fourth to propel his team to that win. Thomas has now scored at least 20 points in his last 32 straight games. It was his fourth 20-point fourth quarter of the season. Fantastic. And another stat I want to bring up that is the Pistons are not going to win unless they fix this moving forward as well. They went 3 of 27 from behind the arc. That's 11%. I had to do a double take when I looked at that stat with 20 seconds left in the game last night. I said, are they really 3 for 27? Oh, my, 11%. When's the last time you heard of a team shoot 11% from the three-point line? You're not going to win. If you can't shoot the three ball in today's NBA, you are not going to win. So we brought up last week on the show the whole notion of possibly a Ricky Rubio, Reggie Jackson trade. Heck, I trade Reggie Jackson for a cup of coffee right now. That's how frustrated I am with RJ. I just got to be honest with you all. 517-355-WKER, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, I would be remiss if I didn't open up the mic of Isaac Constant so he can weigh in on this, being the NBA aficionado that he is. Isaac, I don't know if you tuned in last night. There was a lot going on last night, a lot in, especially in the world of politics, right, that really diverted some attention from the NBA world. But I'm pretty sure you tuned in to some of that game last night.
Oh, I was still able to hit up channel, 45.3 or whatever it was, TNT's channel on my cable, and watch a little bit of Reggie Jackson and the Detroit Pistons. And this should be the Detroit Pistons without Reggie Jackson. I think we can say that pretty clearly now. The guy, the word I'd use, here's your word of the day, Al, is recalcitrant. He's resistant to authority. He's stubborn. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, last year, you and I were split on Reggie. I didn't like him quite as much, but you did, and so did Stan Van Gundy, who I trust entirely with
this team. He was playing well at that point.
Yes, he was. And the thing is, he was learning. The reason OKC shipped out Reggie in the first place, though, is because he wasn't learning. It seems like the same old problems again and again for Reggie Jackson. Shooting too much. The other thing, you mentioned 3 of 27 from behind the three-point line. That's an easy fix. Even if you're off shooting for the night, that's an easy fix. Marcus Morris does not shoot 7 three-pointers, and you get a little bit better in that percentage. Reggie Jackson does not shoot 3. And miss all 3, you get a little bit better. Stanley Johnson shot 4. You also had Tobias Harris shoot 4. These guys are not 3-point shooters. You drive to the paint, especially when you've got Isaiah Thomas, the worst defender. And I love Isaiah Thomas, but this is just stats. The worst defender statistically in the league on the court. What Reggie Jackson needs to realize, though, to take advantage of that, to capitalize on that, is you drive to the paint. You don't force up mid-range jumpers. That's not doing anything. Mm-hmm. You drive to the paint. You use your physical advantage. And you know what? If they collapse, if they double-team, then you kick it out. But Ish Smith outperformed a much better defender, a great defender, in Marcus Smart. He made him fall, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
The thing is, there was a clear contrast in point guard level of play and how the team played surrounding those point guards. The thing is, Ish Smith posted a positive plus minus. Reggie Jackson posted a negative one. And the Pistons lost this game because of Reggie Jackson.
They did. I mean, and to go back, I have to disagree with this point, though, Isaac. I do believe that Marcus Morris and Tobias Harris, they can shoot the three. I've seen multiple. They can hit that shot down. They just, I don't know what it was. It was one of those games last night. They just could not hit anything from deep. And the offense just flows better when you have a pass-first point guard like Ish Smith. He's not searching for his buckets, so to speak. And Reggie Jackson just forced it way too many times. He's got to go. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will dive into Michigan State football recruiting. That's right. Jeremy Warnemonde, he'll join us on the air to talk about MSU football recruiting. Also, he's just finishing up, at the Tom Izzo press conference. That and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number to call. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Just finished up a chat centered on the Detroit Pistons falling to the Boston Celtics on national TV last night. Two comments I want to read. This comes from David Arlo via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. David says the Pistons are a complete joke. SVG should hire a coach. That's coming from David. And then we have Ben Grimes that decides to weigh in on the Patriots and the Super Bowl. Here's my take on the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl will be a high-scoring affair with very little defense. I think that the Pats will win, even though I don't want them to. I want someone else to win for a change. It's nothing against Tom Brady. Don't get me wrong. Tom Brady is as good as he is for a reason. but I want to see someone else win for a change. Brady will go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback ever to play the game if the Patriots do indeed win the Super Bowl. The Pistons are a joke. They have been up and down all season. They can't win more than three or four in a row before they let up and go on another six or seven game losing streak. This team has players who are selfish from game to game, and you are not going to win many games in the NBA playing like that. Preach on, Ben. Preach on, David. 517-355-WKAR. Well, tomorrow, big day in the world of high school athletics. Seeing as though tomorrow is signing day. That's right. Michigan State football actually will be holding a presser at 3 p.m. to talk about its new recruiting class, upcoming recruiting class. And we will have coverage, of course, of that press conference tomorrow evening, as well as a fun-filled show tomorrow afternoon centered on recruiting and signing day for both Michigan State football, Michigan football, and also various local athletes here in the Mid-Michigan area who will be deciding where they want to take their respective talents. And right now, we want to give you all a bit of a preview of Michigan State football signing day, as we invite to the show for the first time ever, Jeremy Warnemunde, who is a Michigan State basketball and football reporter for 247sports.com. Jeremy is just actually wrapping up some time at the Breslin Center, as, of course, Tom Izzo, head coach of the Spartan Hoop team, has just wrapped up his weekly press conference. Right now, we invite Jeremy to the show. Jeremy, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Jeremy, I just want to give a bit of a preview on signing day for Michigan State football for our listeners out there. Can you just kind of sort of go through how many commitments Michigan State currently has? What does the recruiting landscape look like for Michigan State on the eve of signing day?
Well, actually, just this morning, Michigan State picked up its 21st commitment in the 2017 class, and a 6'3" receiver, C.J. Hayes. He was committed to Purdue since June, and decided to flip to Michigan State. Was on an official visit this past weekend, got an offer last week, and so that gives them 21 total, and they got three receivers now in the class. But it's a pretty balanced recruiting class, I think. You know, I think a big thing that they did was they brought in four offensive linemen that are committed so far. They got some defensive ends and some guys on the defensive line, and they brought in some linebackers and some defensive backs. And so I think one of the biggest things that they did in this class was that they filled needs that you saw were lacking last year with the lack of a pass rush and really inconsistent play from the defensive backs as well.
Jeremy, when you talk about rankings, I know a lot of folks are harping on the stars and the various rankings for each and every school here in the nation. Right now, where does Michigan State rank nationally when it comes to its current recruiting class?
Right now, Michigan State, according to the 24/7 Sports composite, is 31st in the country. Depending on what happens today, tomorrow, and throughout the next couple days, if there are any guys that sign after signing day, they could range anywhere between 28 maybe to that 31, 32 range. It won't go further than that in either direction the way it's looking right now. So, you know, not the best recruiting class as far as ranking that Mark D'Antonio has had so far, especially coming off last year, which might have been Mark D'Antonio's best recruiting class. But, you know, that's kind of been the way Michigan State has done it, though, with guys that are a little under-recruited and guys that aren't necessarily highly ranked but fit the Michigan State program.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, last year's class, was that a top 10 class? Top 15, top 20?
It was top 20 for sure. I don't have it in front of me right now. But, yeah, that was Mark D'Antonio's best as far as, you know, depth and high-end talent, too, with guys like Donnie Corley and, you know, great receiving class in general. That was his best class talent-wise, but I think this one is well-rounded right now. They're still looking to add some more pieces to it in the next coming days.
For sure, and I have to ask this question. Jeremy, when looking at that dip, if you will, for the ranking of this year's upcoming class, how much of that is a product of what occurred this past year for the MSU football team, record-wise?
Yeah, you know, I think it probably plays a small part in it. I think guys can't help but see a 3-9 season and wonder what's going on there. But I think one thing is they haven't had any guys that, you know, they came into the season with 17 players committed, and they've hung on to those guys. And, you know, something might change in the next couple of days, but we'll see there. But I think that's a testament to the fact that that guys really look at the big picture, these recruits, because most of these guys that they grew up, all they've known is a Michigan State football team that wins and goes to, you know, Big Ten championship games and Rose Bowls and such. So I think it might have played a small role in it with not being able to, they haven't closed very well so far this recruiting cycle. They haven't picked up some of the big time guys that they were hoping to grab. But so I think it played a part there more than anything.
And who are some of those big-time guys that just for one reason or another decided not to come to East Lansing?
Well, the biggest one, I think, recently at least, was Oliver Martin, four-star receiver out of Iowa City. He committed to Michigan last night, or actually committed over the weekend and announced it last night. But he was a guy that Michigan State got in on pretty early as far as his recruiting process, which blew up this summer when he performed really well at a few camps. And so Michigan State was the first big school to offer him, but Michigan and Notre Dame and others came in after. And Michigan kind of cooled on him for a little bit, and Michigan State looked like it might have been the front runner, but Michigan got back in on it and kind of took over again. And as soon as they got back into it, it was pretty much a given he was going to end up there. And I think another guy that Michigan got that Michigan State fans really wish they could have had is Ambry Thomas, a corner out of Detroit. He would have been a great fit for Michigan State's defense, and I think they're going to miss him going forward the next few years and having to play against him every year too.
And Jeremy, you bring up Oliver Martin. That's where I was going next. And I saw in our headliners that it, you know, when he announced his commitment via video, it featured himself and Michigan's Jim Harbaugh and Pep Hamilton jumping into a pool. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is. There's actually a couple weekends ago, Martin was supposed to take a visit, but couldn't make it because he had a big swim tournament. So he's just an all-around athlete. And so, yeah, that was a fun little thing they did. I'm sure Michigan State fans find it kind of obnoxious. But, yeah, he's a great athlete. Early in his recruiting process, there was talk that he might end up playing baseball instead of football, but then he really blew up on the football scene and couldn't pass that up. So, yeah, Michigan State's going to miss him for sure. He would have been a nice get, but, you know, nothing you can do about it. Got to move on with the guys that you have.
Got to keep it pushing, as I like to say. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Jeremy Warnemunde, who is a Michigan State basketball and football reporter for 247sports.com. Jeremy, are you expecting any last-minute surprises or gets for Michigan State football?
Well, they have a couple guys that are planning to announce tomorrow. The biggest guy would be a linebacker out of Virginia Beach, Jeremiah Owosu-Koamoah. He's a guy that Michigan State has offered in the last month and a half or so, so got in kind of late in the process. He was committed to Virginia, but now it's between Michigan State and Notre Dame, and the last two weekends he's taken official visits to MSU and Notre Dame, and that's kind of neck and neck right now. Nobody can really get a great read. Notre Dame people seem to think he's Notre Dame. Some Michigan State people seem to feel pretty confident he's Michigan State. So I think that'll be one to look for tomorrow afternoon. I think he's announcing at 2 o'clock Eastern. And then another guy is a less heralded kid, but pretty good athlete, a kid out of California. His name's Emmanuel Flowers. He's a 6'2 safety who took an official in Michigan State a few weeks ago. He visited San Diego State and UCLA. And so he's a guy to watch out for, too. Other than that, you know, there will be some surprises, I think. Not even sure who some of those will be. I think Michigan State could end up getting a second running back in their class after signing day. There's a kid named Cordarian Richardson from Memphis who was expected to announce tomorrow but is now pushing that decision back and could end up visiting Michigan State before making his final decision. So that's another guy to look out for, too.
Wow. Okay. I can hear the pens of many Michigan State football fans out there everywhere jotting all of these names down right now. Jeremy, you know, are there any players, when you look at this year's class, are there any players you think can make an immediate impact once they come to campus?
Well, I think, you know, you got to look at a guy like Antoine Simmons. He's one of the most talented kids in the class. He's an outside linebacker who had interest from, he was originally committed to Ohio State and kind of got recruited over a little bit at Ohio State, took an official to MSU and decommitted from the Buckeyes, and now he's committed to Michigan State. You know, he's a great athlete, great football player. He fits the star linebacker profile for Michigan State, and that's a tough position to pick up as a freshman, and MSU still has some players there. So as far as opportunity, though, I think you look at a guy like LeSean Polino-Bell. He's a 6'4" defensive end from St. Thomas Aquinas down in Florida, which is a football powerhouse. And, you know, he's, like I said, 6'4", got long arms, great pass rusher, and that was the thing that Michigan State was lacking last year. So I could see him coming in and making a difference. And then maybe you look at, you know, the receivers. Hunter Risen is an early enrollee. Michigan State fans know his name well. His dad is Andre Risen, who played at MSU.
Yeah.
And so he might have a leg up being in there early enrollee. But I think Cody White from Walled Lake Western, he was Mr. Football in the state of Michigan. He's a guy that can contribute early, maybe get some playing time on special teams and such.
Jeremy, you've been following these recruits for quite some time, and from a journalist perspective, which incoming recruits do you believe have some of the most intriguing background stories?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the biggest one, and it's very pertinent to the current news cycle, would be offensive tackle Mustafa Khalifa.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of Dearborn, Michigan. And he's only been playing football for a couple of years because he's actually an Iraqi war refugee.
Oh, my goodness.
He moved to the States with his mom. All he really knew growing up was the sport of soccer, but he came to the States. He grew. He's 6'6", 282, coming into his freshman year. And so, yeah, he's got a great story. Kind of fell in love with the game of football. And like I said, only been playing a couple of years, so he's a little raw, but he's a great athlete and a guy that could be at Michigan State's left or right tackle sometime in the future.
Yeah, I don't know if you're finding a better background story than that one. And like you just said, I think that's a story that speaks directly to the political realm that we're going through these past few days, for sure. What a story. My goodness. Jeremy, before we get you out of here, my friend, I want to throw this out at you because I know tomorrow – down in Ann Arbor, it's going to be a big spectacle, just like it was last year for signing day. You know, Jim Harbaugh really goes all out. And just looking at how recruiting has changed over the years and the attention that a lot of these young pups get over time, has signing day become too big of a spectacle in your eyes?
Yeah, as somebody who covers recruiting, obviously it's important to my job. But at the same time,
right?
You know, I can't believe how obsessive some people are over it. But I think just like anything in our society these days, social media has really changed things too. You know, these kids love the attention, or you know, a lot of them love the attention that they get, and they tweet out every single offer that they get and everything. So yeah, I think signing day is made into a bigger deal than it needs to be. But at the same time, you know, it is the lifeblood of college football, you know, getting these recruits in. You're not going to win games without quality recruits and recruits that you like. They don't have to be all five stars and four stars, but, you know, the players that Michigan State gets tomorrow are the players that are going to be helping them win games in, you know, 2-3 years. So it is a big deal, you know, whether we like it, that it's become a spectacle at some places or not, you know, that is what it is. You know, anything for an edge these days in recruiting, it seems like. And, you know, Michigan goes all out with it there. They like to make it a big deal, and that draws some kids to the program. So, you know, I think Michigan State does it the right way. Just, you know, press conference where Mark D'Antonio talks about his guys coming in doesn't make it into a spectacle, but, you know, everybody's different. So I guess I can't complain too much.
Jeremy, I think that was very well put, my friend. Before we get you out of here, takeaways from Tom Izzo's press conference today. I know you're just wrapping up coverage there. I saw via Twitter that Nick Ward has the flu. He's questionable for Thursday's game. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's what Coach Izzo said today. Ward actually talked to the media after the game, and he was a little quiet. I didn't really think anything of it, though. But, yeah, Izzo said he didn't even know that Ward was sick during the game until they sent him to urgent care afterwards, and he hasn't really been able to practice. He's hoping today that he can at least shoot some free throws and do some walkthrough stuff with the team so that he can be ready for Thursday's game against Nebraska, because that's a big one. Michigan State has struggled at Nebraska, And, you know, not having Nick Ward in the lineup when they're already short on big guys would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the big storyline from today, and that'll be something to follow in the next couple of days. We'll be at practice tonight, so we'll find out later if Ward is able to go or not.
For sure. Jeremy Warnemunde, of course, of Michigan State basketball and football reporting for 247sports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at JSWarno, W-A-R-N-O, 247. Jeremy, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by briefly chatting about a beef between Charles Barkley and LeBron James in the NBA. We also have Ray from Indiana on line one. Ray, I haven't forgotten about you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Just seven minutes left in the show. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Ray from Indiana that wants to chime in on recruiting. Ray, what's up?
Skipper, I watched the last 3 minutes. I got home from church, and what a sweet victory. You beating the bullies up Sunday.
That was a fun game, wasn't it? Fun game.
You know what? If you could win the rematch, that would be a cherry on the cake.
Well, I nothing's guaranteed. Michigan State, you know, they played a sick Zach Irvin. But at the same time, again, as we elaborated on the show yesterday, Michigan State played outstanding perimeter defenses. If they can duplicate that defensive effort, hey, who knows what could happen that day.
Hey, your buddy John Beilein, did you ask him about my chocolates I give him all them years?
No, we had more important matters to get to after that game, Ray,
hey,
but it was on my mind.
What's going on with recruiting? You guys are 31st in the country this year? You're doing that bad?
Yeah, well, again, first off, you know how I feel about recruiting.
I know. Michigan, the Bullies, are number four like they have even when I rooted for them 20, 30 years ago.
They're always
still getting
right.
A number five class, and that don't mean nothing.
They're always up there. Michigan is always up there when it comes to recruiting. Just the lore that the Maize and Blue college football program, you know, that it gives off. I mean, and Jim Harbaugh is a great recruiter. You gotta respect his grind, especially
well, 110,000 people. You get all that money. You can pretty well buy them to come in.
And the thing is, Michigan for Jim Harbaugh, I mean, he's going to be relying heavily on that recruiting class and a lot of young players because there's so much turnover happening for the Wolverines program in comparison to the squad last year.
They fell apart. I thought it would hurt him in recruiting, but I guess it didn't.
Yeah, they had something like 40-plus seniors this past year.
Yeah, you know, we're only 3 days away from knowing if Kurt Warner's going to get in the Hall of Fame. You're still going to make the phone call.
We are. Yes. I've been procrastinating on this, but Ray, I got your back. All right? I told you I was going to do it. I got your back.
The number is 1-330-456-8207. You push operator and ask for Joe Horrigan, Secretary Chris, and say, hey, let's put Kurt Warner in where he belongs. Do we know the stats of Kurt Warner?
Yes.
Do we know that he's a Hall of Famer?
Well, the stats are off the charts. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, Ray.
I agree with you.
He's
got the top three passing records out of 50 Super Bowls. He's got the number two ranking behind Bart Starr.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Bart Starr that won eight World Championships with the Packers?
Yes, of course.
They had like 14 players that have been in the NFL Hall of Fame. How much Kurt Warner got? He's only got one or two players on any of those teams that ever got in the Hall of Fame.
Ray, Kurt Warner needs to hire you. Appreciate the call.
All right, God bless you, buddy.
Thank you for your help.
Bye.
Always, Ray. Oh, boy. All right, before we close out this show, I want to just play a snippet. We'll table this discussion for tomorrow, but I want to play a snippet between Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley. This is what the conversation was like. I believe this happened last week, Isaac?
Yeah, something like that.
When LeBron, you know, LeBron's been trying to get, you know, he's been putting it out there to the public that he wants upper management to give him more help. Here's what the discussion went like on Inside the NBA between Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley.
His comments were inappropriate, but Chuck, don't ever say LeBron doesn't want to compete. Does he need all the good players on this team to win? Yes. is inappropriate because I think in a professional manner he could have went upstairs. You know, they have great history, they have some bad history, but you know the history was rekindled. He should have went upstairs.
But you don't think there's something wrong with even wanting more?
No, let me
like
finish.
For what
no,
you are
not,
now. You don't think
not,
that no. this, there is something fundamentally wrong.
There's something fundamentally
like,
wrong.
Like with saying that he wants more. Already, he wants
you played
more.
For a team that had Big Four. You forgot about that.
Big
you,
four.
You, Akeem,
oh,
Scotty.
First of all,
it doesn't matter.
Not even close.
It doesn't matter.
No, it's not even close.
It doesn't matter.
All old men way past our prime.
It doesn't
matter. This guy just won the championship. He got a young Kyrie Irving and a terrific Kevin Love. And
yeah,
now,
but it takes more than that to win the championship.
They just won the championship. What do you mean it takes more?
Okay.
They just won the championship.
First of all, you know nothing about going back to back. I do and Kenny do. You listen, teams are coming at his head. They need more. They need a big shot Bob. They need a guy like Kenny Smith. They need a playmaker like LeBron said. It's only inappropriate because he went to the media. He should have went to Dan Gilbert and said, hey, I need help, boom, boom, boom. And they should have had a private conversation. But don't ever say LeBron don't want to compete.
Hey, listen, he says he needs help. Listen, he's the best player in the world. He's got plenty of help. Why don't he take it?
He's looking at, don't you think, looking at Golden State and saying, boy, they added Kevin Durant.
That's none of his business, Ernie.
I know, but don't you think...
You want to be the GM for every team in the league now?
I'm just saying, don't you think that provides his view of where Cleveland is and their chances
Cleveland's
of repeating...
Cleveland's done everything. Ernie, they got the highest payroll in the league. They don't have any transfer parts.
I'm just trying to say... Why no, LeBron might be looking at that as saying,
no, Kenny, go ahead.
He says, we're not as good, and they're better than they
doesn't
were.
He doesn't have that right because what Kevin Durant did was not ordinary.
I agree, Kenny. I agree, Sir Charles. Barkley has gone on to call LeBron James inappropriate and whiny after James has complained about the lack of playmaking, and LeBron has fired back in a pretty big way, a personal way. We'll dive into that discussion and so much more on tomorrow's Recruiting Field Show here on WKAR AM 870. We will be chatting with Jim Copperoni of Spartan Mag as he will give us a complete rundown on Michigan State football recruiting. Much thanks to Jeremy Warnemundi for coming on today's show. We'll also invite Alexandra Illich, news reporter for WLNS TV6 later on in the hour tomorrow. She will give us updates on the Dr. Larry Nassar story that is shocking the nation, not just here at Michigan State University. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Take care. And as always, be easy, people.